I also want to give you some news before we jump in here. Just, it made my heart jump today. Pam shared with me something today. I'm going to share that, Pam. Pam was adopted. You were thrown into adoption early in your life, right? And you had some siblings. Well, she found her siblings after all these years. So, yes, that's awesome. And how many do you have? Okay. Three sisters and one brother. Could you imagine that? And after all these years, you find each other. What a blessing that is. So if you see her today, maybe just give her a hug and say, hey, praise the Lord. God's good, isn't he? And God is good, amen? We're going to do communion here in just a few minutes here. We're going to have a meal together, fellowship. I hope that you all stay for that. But if you have your Bibles, we're going to be in Isaiah. I'm going to pick a couple things out here in Isaiah and then also in Luke. But I want to remind you today that we are celebrating Christmas throughout this whole week. And it is the love that God's given to mankind. God's love shines down on God on the earth through his son, Jesus Christ. Now, the world can't see it because the world is blinded. The world can't see it because the world is in darkness. But we see it because God has showed us the light. And that light is Jesus Christ. But I know on this side of heaven, I can never understand and never fathom the extent and the power of the love of God. And the love of God is so great that he even looks and sees the darkness of the world, and yet his love has pierced the darkness. And we see this in Isaiah. We see the prophecy from way back when, and I heard it this morning. It is right. We agree. It is 700 years. Isaiah writes a piece that God's given them, right, as a prophetic piece. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. It wasn't at this time because things were not looking good at this time. But in Isaiah 9, verse 20, or verse 2, it says, the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. A light has dawned on those living in the land of darkness. Can I remind you, before you knew Christ, you were living in the land of darkness. The darkness was a part of your world. When you woke up, you may have seen the sun, the radiance of the sun and the sunshine and the light of the sun, but you were still living in darkness. You see, there's a physical light and a spiritual light. There's a physical darkness and a spiritual darkness. We have, all of us, have experienced both sides. But when we come to know who Christ is, we have come from one side, from dark to the light. God's gift is the most valuable gift known to man. You know, today, if you see a president, you see a king or a queen or some very important government official, they'll put an entourage. If they're going to drive, I did some security in West Point once when President Bush was there, and all these limos, they just one after another, and then there became those from the Middle East, and they all had their flags on front of their limos, and they all came out, and they had bodyguards, and they all were dressed in just their best, and they came out in front of this graduation for these new officers, these candidates who were going to be officers, and there was thousands of people there, and I just had maybe 50, 60 feet that I was just to walk back and forth, just the security. There was so much security there because there were so many important people there. There were people up in the audience and up there in the stands. There were people up on buildings, and there were people all over the place. It was just nothing could get out of there. There was so much security, and people were there because people were important. These people that were coming were so important. Can I remind you that the most important gift came down with humility and humbleness? You see, we do it with security and pride and look at us and entourage and look at the colors and all the things, the beauty and all the expensive things that are before us. And people are walking in. It's an entourage and protection for those things. But when Jesus, the most important gift that God has given to mankind, comes, it doesn't come in a big entourage. It didn't come with a red carpet rolled out because they're famous and he's going to be walking on a red carpet. No, he walks on animal feces. mother and father walks on that and brings him into a stable and lays him in a, after he's born, he put him in a trough. That's what the animals eat out of. I'm not a farmer, but I do know that. The world just missed it. They missed the great coming of the most greatest gift of all. But God sees all. He sees the bigger picture. He expressed, God himself expressed humility and humbleness in a way the world can't even take it. The world can't understand that type of humbleness and humility and love. There was no room for him. People still make no room for him. Go on down. There's no room for him still today. Yet he was born in this small little manger stable. Laid him in a trough. The greatest gift did not come in a limousine or a big caravan. It came with two people carrying the most beautiful gift, and the world missed it. But it is God's gift. It is God's gift that pierced the darkness. As we see what happens, we see that this gift from heaven is the Christmas gift that God gives to us. If we look in Luke chapter 2, there is something after a few days of Jesus being born. I want to share a piece here that is an amazing piece. You see, there are things that believers see that the lost do not see. This is one of those pieces. It said, when the 8 days of Luke chapter 2, verse 21, when the 8 days are completed for his circumcision, he named him, his name was Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived. Verse 25, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was a righteous and devout, looking forward to Israel's consolation. And the Holy Spirit was on him, and it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he saw the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, he entered the temple complex when the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to perform for him what was customary under the law. Simeon took him up in his arm, and he praised God, and he said, "Now, Master, you can dismiss your slave, your servant, in peace, as you promised. For my eyes have seen your salvation. You have prepared it in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and glory to your people, Israel." You see, some people saw it, but most missed it. Today, some people see it, and some people still miss it. You see, the power of Christmas is Jesus himself. That's what confuses the world. The world figures you got to do something for salvation. You have to accomplish something by works. You have to be someone. You have to be of a special blue blood. You have to be from a special family. You have to do some type of tradition. No. That's the hard part. The world believes they have to do something. We don't have to do anything except believe it by faith and receive it by faith. Because the power of Christmas is Jesus himself. Imagine the only person holy in the whole world, of an unholy world, the darkness. When Jesus came, was born, there was light, there was brightness, pierced into the darkness. Jesus is Christmas. Christmas is Jesus. If you take them out, then you don't know what Christmas is. You cannot have Christmas without Jesus. And you really cannot have Jesus without Christmas. Jesus is Christmas. It's a faith thing. It is truly a faith thing. Christmas is the light that pierced into the darkness. I want to remind you that that light of Jesus is still shining. Even though, wonder, all the darkness that's going on in the world today, that light is still piercing in the darkness of people's lives. There's nothing that has put that light out since the light came. Jesus himself even says, "You are the light of the world." Once we become a believer, we become light. But we only get that through Jesus Christ. But when Christmas came, it also gave us not only the light, it gave us hope. Hope where there was no hope. People were running around trying to do, and the world was lost, and there's no hope. It was hopeless. Let me tell you today, it is not hopeless. Now, there are a lot of ways to stay in hopelessness, but there is one way out of hopelessness. That is the thing. Jesus is, when he came, hope came. So there is hope, but you got to do it his way. You got to do it God's way. When God gave Jesus, he said, "This is the way, the one and only way. I'm giving you my most valuable love here. It is Jesus Christ. And if I'm going to give you my best, you're going to come my way. If you're going to come my way, you got to come my way. My way. And that is through my son, Jesus Christ." You want true hope? Hope comes from Jesus Christ. Amen? It comes from Jesus Christ. Let me tell you, I've grabbed a hold of that hope so many times. So many times, and I bet I'm not the only one in the room. There's times I needed hope when I didn't know there. I knew there was hope, but I didn't know I had to spend a little bit more time with the Lord. I knew I needed hope. And let me tell you, as a believer in Christ, I know I have a hope. And I know that my hope is in Jesus. And I pray that you'll say, if I asked you, "Where's your hope come from?" you would say, "It comes from Jesus." Because if it comes from somewhere else, I want to tell you, it's limited. It can only do so much. Usually there's a cost to it. Usually you have to do something, one, two, or three. But with the hope that Christ gives to us, it's all on him. He wants us to have faith. But not only is there hope in Jesus, there's help. Sometimes people just need help. Can I tell you a lot about help in the world? The world can help a lot of people. But once they do the initial help, they don't even know, the world doesn't know what to do next. It never knows what to do next. The world wants the church to help. Believe me, I know, I've been in a lot of meetings. The world wants the church to help, but they have a hook. Don't tell them about Jesus. You can't tell them about Jesus. Why? They don't even know why. But I do, and you do. Because that's the darkness. You can get hope, and you can get help, but it's minimal. In the world, it is minimal. The world can only do so much. The world can only do so much with help. Because when we help, there's more to it. Now, we should not beat people over the head with Jesus. We shouldn't do that. There are some that do that. Never do that. Jesus doesn't beat you over the head to come to him. We'll get to that in a moment. But Christmas brings help to a helpless world. Not only does when Jesus come, he brought hope and help, he also brings a healing. A real healing. How many of y'all know that you've had marital problems in your marriage? And you're like, "Lord, I need some hope here. I need some help here." We need a healing. I want to tell you, you got a marriage problem. You know what to do as a believer. What do? You take it to Jesus. After you've had your bickering, you've had your stuff, you take it to Jesus. And Jesus knows how to slow your roll down. Because we trust him. We have problems. We need a healing because we have brokenness. The promises of God reminds us that they were a believer. Yes, they passed from this world and they have died. But guess what? You're going to see them again. So there's a healing there that Jesus brings. But I want to remind you, people pass it every day. They refuse it every day. Why? Because it involves a relationship with Jesus. I want hope. I don't want Jesus. I want help. I don't want Jesus. I need a healing, but I don't want Jesus. God says, you want the real deal. It all comes through Jesus. It all comes through Jesus. But also, Jesus comes. Not only is the light, the hope, the help, and the healing, but also brings something else, an opportunity. Christmas is an eternal gift. It is a gift that when you come and you receive that gift that God gives to mankind, and that gift is Jesus, you receive that gift, it comes with heaven. It comes with being part of the family of God. Heaven becomes part of you, and you become part of heaven. It's sealed, it's solid, it's real. How do I know? Because God's word tells me so. I have faith, I believe. God's word tells us in Romans 10, it says this, if you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. The gift that God gave man opportunity for salvation. Revelation 3:20 says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him, and he with me, a relationship. Isaiah 12:2 says, surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord himself is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. Romans 1:16 says this, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. The Christmas gift is real. And it's still available for those who reach out and take hold of the greatest gift that God has given to man. Every other gift that God's given to the world has a moment. But the gift that God's given to the world through his Son, Jesus Christmas, it can be everlasting if you receive it. God blesses the world with the sun, and the heat of the sun, the radiance, the four seasons, all the things that God does, the wind, the rain, the growth. God blesses the just and the unjust. The sun shines on both. But everlasting gifts are only for those who reach out and grab a hold of the everlasting gift, Jesus Christ himself. And I pray today that you have Jesus in your life. That he's not just in a book, that he's just not in I believe in God. But listen, to get to God, you got to believe in Jesus Christ, that he came from a virgin birth. You can't get over that. You got a faith problem. You got to believe that Jesus came and died, not for everyone else, but also for you. That he came for you. That you might have eternal life. Did you know that? God knows who you are. The scripture says he knows the numbers of hair on your head. He knows you better than you do. Let's try to make an attempt to know him a little better. Jesus is that Christmas gift that continues to be available for all. And if you think you're going to take him when you want, it's never that way, because you can't reach out and grab a hold of the Lord unless the Holy Spirit is prompting you to. You can't pick and choose the day of your salvation. God is working. His Holy Spirit is working. You'll never trump his work. If God says today, and he touches your heart and says today is your true Christmas gift, it's not about all the other. You get the opportunity to receive the Christmas gift that lasts forever, eternal life. If he's moving in your heart and your spirit today, that is what you need. That's what you need to take. Because it's not promised tomorrow or even 5 minutes later. The scripture says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. This scripture, these banners, have been with us since day one. Because one thing I know, and as I prayed, what is our theme? What is our peace for this church? It is people that are, we all are hard-headed. Bob, you hard-headed? Okay. All right. I am too. Jeremy is too. But if we let this get hard, listen, this can get hard, but if this gets hard, you are in trouble. Because this builds up callous. And it gets hard. And God's trying to break through it, and you just keep building walls. And you keep building walls, and sometimes God just says, okay. And that is the most dangerous place to be. When you just keep smacking God's hand, and you keep pushing God away, your heart gets hard. It gets calloused. And you get bitter in life. Scripture warns us. I believe it's three times in Hebrews. I could be mistaken, but three times I believe it's in there. No, it's at least in there too. Do not harden your heart. Don't harden your heart. Don't harden your heart. Let me tell you, the Christmas gift will soften your heart. It can pierce through the hardest pains and sufferings that you've ever had. Let God do a work in your life. The power of Christmas will continue to shine in this world, whether you receive it or not. God's going to let the power of the gospel, which is the light and the story of Jesus, the Christmas story, the Christmas gift, continue to pierce through the darkness, and it'll pass by many, many, because many don't want it. Many don't want it. You think I have bad days? You think I have bad days? Oh, I have bad days. I could put a smile on my face and fake the best. Because I got a role to play. I got a job I got to do. I had a hard weekend. You want to hear what I did? What's it worth? What? Nobody's coming. Nobody's lives are changing. Baptisms, they're not filling up. We had a goal. We had a peace here. What's going on with that? So I had to complain to God. People come into life houses. Lives ain't changing. They come back 3, 4, 5 times. Keep doing the same old thing. People come into church once a month thinking they got it right. They don't want it. Their hearts are, their lives are a mess, a wreck, going back, living with each other, going back, doing this, going back to the bar, but then I'm going to just keep on doing this, living a mess. And I was like, what's it for, God? Yeah, you're raising money. Yeah, you gifted us with raising money. We got more money you can shake a stick at for this church. But no, what are the lives doing? And I'm like, I'm complaining to God. I went down to the middle ministry, trying to get people to come to church. Trying to go out to this place and trying to get people to church. God smacks me in the face today. I invited somebody from the mill ministry and they came today. Thank you. God gave me some hope today. Inviting all kinds of people. Trying to share the gospel with people. Not getting nowhere. But I'm also reminded, I know this, that God's doing more than I can see. No matter what, if I get myself in a spot where I feel like I'm at a crossroads and I can't know which way to go, I do know this, that I can get to a place and I'm gonna vent to my wife and she's gonna vent, or I'm gonna vent. I said, I can't find a person. Don't take it wrong. I can't find a person not on anxiety pills. Don't take it wrong, but what I'm saying is, we got to get back to who God is. And we got to quit being afraid to share the gospel where we're at. The Christmas gift is here, and we're looking at it, and I received it. Most of you received it, but it's, what are you going to do with it? You got to give it again. That's why Jesus says, you are a light on a hill. We are the light. And we need to share it. People need to keep coming to Christ to keep receiving the Christmas gift. This balcony should be packed. We should be into it. I don't care about COVID, all that stuff. What I mean by that is, shouldn't hold everybody back. It's a dark moment in that time. I'm not saying the dark moments aren't still coming, but I'm saying let's be careful what we use as an excuse. Half of my pastor's friends, my pastor peers, the churches are half where they were before. We're blessed. It's a good crowd this morning. But will this crowd be the same next week? I pray it will. But I tell you this, I tell you this, my allergies are getting to me. I'm not getting emotional. Okay. But I will tell you this, I'm going to get up in the morning and I'm going to come in and do ministry. But I'll tell you, sometimes it gets tough. John the Baptist was arrested in prison. He had a moment. Lord, go ask him, is he really the one? He knew inside, but he had to ask. We had those moments. David had those moments. Read Psalms. He had a lot of moments. Why? Because he's just like us. Jonah had a moment. Peter had moments. Jimmy has moments. Bob has moments. Larry has moments. Barb has moments. When you see somebody in a moment, don't judge them and get hard on them. Just pray for them, love on them, because your moment's coming too. The Christmas gift is real. And I got people that my heart is breaking. And I want them to see, I want them to have what I have. I have family members, friends, people, acquaintances, that I want them to have what I have. I have the Christmas gift. And so do most of you. Let's not give up on those. Let's not give up. I'm going to close with this, my message piece. I've gotten a lot of things over the years. I've been alive 55 years, so I've got a lot of gifts. I have 55 Christmases. I couldn't tell you what I received over those years. And I bet you couldn't either. You might remember one or two. But some of the ones that were given to you were actually by your kids when they were really little. And they had to be careful because you might break it. You knew what it was, but nobody else did. Because they told you it was a turtle or something. But you can't remember what you got. But when you get something from God, you can't forget what you got. You can't forget what you got. I can't forget I have salvation. And I can't forget that I have a counselor, the Holy Spirit. And I can't forget what God's called me to. That Christmas gift that God's given is so beautiful. I'll probably forget what I get this year for Christmas by about March. But I won't forget the Christmas gift God gave me in 1978. At the age of 12. In July. If your Christmas gift of God is starting to get dusty, if we're getting, start seeing the power that it truly has, maybe you need to talk to the giver again. Maybe you just might need to ask God to let you see it in a new way. I just know this, that God wants you to be closer to Him today than you were yesterday. Father, as we get ready to make this moment into our time of response, whatever you want to do, you are God. Your Holy Spirit is amazing. And Jesus, you are the gift that is everlasting. If there is someone here today that needs to have the spiritual gift of Christmas, that is, the Christmas gift is you, let them receive it today. If there's others, Lord, that need to reexamine their Christmas gift with you or whatever it needs, that they might need to look at you again and just maybe thank you again for the gift. Do your work. Whatever you want to do today with us, do it. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's go ahead and stand. I want to remind you, I love all of you. I do.